this great commandment of God. They're words of spirit and words of life. And it will cause us to be separated from all of that thing out there, or those things that could contaminate me or take my life away from him. What a wonderful thought to think about the commandments of God in that way. Then it says that his seed shall be mighty upon earth. Not only saying that God's seed shall be mighty upon earth, as we know that it will, but that the seed of the righteous man shall be mighty in the earth. Where the Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen his seed, that is God's seed, nor the righteous seed, begging bread. I've never seen that, David said. Then he goes on to say, it shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The wealth and riches shall be in his house. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Now you can get rich in the world. It's no problem to get rich in the world. You can cut a few corners, pull a few deals over here, and shift a few things around in the shadows, you know, and you could come up a wealthy man. But the Bible said, he that hateth to be rich shall not be unpunished. But the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it doesn't add any sorrow. At the end of the trail, there'll be sorrow for the man that hasteth to be rich. But when God makes a man rich, there is no sorrow given with those riches. The Bible says here, he shall have a name that shall be an everlasting remembrance. His name shall be remembered from now on. Might have a great president. His name might be remembered from generation to generation. But long after the memory of that great dignitary has passed away, millions and millions of years from now, the name of the righteous shall still be in remembrance and still be going on. Because God will bless the upright in heart. He tells us that a man that is of God, that he has his heart fixed. Evil tidings will not trouble him. He goes on a little farther here. He said, the desire of the wicked shall perish. You know, it doesn't matter what the wicked desires, he isn't going to receive anything but confusion, problems, heartaches. He can go out and make, as we would say, a ton of money. He can get a bushel basket full of dollars. But the Bible tells us that when he brings it home, that God will blow upon it. It doesn't matter how much he makes, though he makes a lot of money. He may cut corners. He may manipulate. He may have a power of ingenuity that makes him so brilliant. And just he may just sparkle among the other businessmen. But the Bible tells us that all of that he gets, when he brings it home, God will blow upon it. But riches gotten by labor, that is blessed of God, they shall increase. So then we see the blessing of the Lord is in the house of the righteous. That the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it lasteth not only through this lifetime, but it lasteth in the world to come. It's eternal riches. Lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt, for wherever your treasures are, the Bible said your heart will be right there. You know, if a man's got an ambition in life, he sets that thing in motion, and that thing captivates his entire attention. Isn't that right? Everything that he does is motivated and moved in the direction of that ambition or desire. So then, if that be true, why not set that thing in motion toward God? Let's lay up treasures in heaven. Let's let our ambition be toward God. Let's get a vision for God. Without a vision, the people perish. Let's get a vision for God and for mankind. Let's think about a human being and the loss of a human being and what it means to preserve one human life, where the Bible uses the terms hating the garments that are spotted with sin, pulling them out of the fire. Why not be a savior? He said, I will raise up saviors and I will send saviors out to the people. Why not be a savior? In every case, when Israel sinned against God, the Bible said God would raise up a Savior. It might be Elijah, it might be Moses, it might be some other great person. But God always raised up a Savior to Israel. Isn't that right? Why not be a Savior? Why not let God raise you up and be a Savior to mankind? What could be greater than saving a human soul or saving a human life? If a person was about to be consumed with flames and you broke through the flames and risked your own life and saved that life, look at the praise and the honor that would be given you. Look at the decoration that comes from some men over in battle. How, when they break through and become a hero, as we say. Look how the president will personally, sometimes personally, come down there and put some kind of medal on them. Just for saving a human life. Because that person has become a savior. But look how wonderful it would be if you and I become a savior to save a soul, which means that we have saved life eternally. We have saved life in such a way that it will never diminish or pass away. What a wonderful thought that is. What could be more thrilling than that? Making a dollar, having a nice home, getting a new car. Can you compare those things, as Paul said, the beggarly elements of this world, with a human life and a human soul? Can you? With eternal, one that could live on eternally and you being responsible for it? The Bible said all of these people shall be jewels in our crowns. You know, we've got a crown of life. And these shall be jewels in your crown of life. In that day when God crowned your soul with eternal living, every one of these that shall live on throughout eternity shall be the jewels of God, and they shall sparkle, radiantly sparkle, throughout eternity because they are jewels in your crown of life. Every time you walk down the streets of glory and you see one of them sparkle, the Bible said that they will shine as the noonday sun. And you see one of them sparkle and say, glory to God, there's a jewel in my crown of life. There's the jewel in my crown of life. I am responsible for that one being up here in glory. Hallelujah. What a thought. What a thrill that would be to know that you won somebody to God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thought? So then we, you know, if you had a diamond mine out here somewhere, or you had a place, I've heard of a place overseas where you just go through the sand and pick up diamonds. You know, if we had such a place around you like that, people would be picking up diamonds. They'd have baskets. They'd have boxes. They'd have every container that they could get. Wouldn't make no difference what kind it was. They'd want to fill it up. Isn't that right? But to think that those things are corruptible and those things will pass away, and yet those things are only a type and a shadow of a living jewel. A living jewel. Not one that's got a little sparkle of sunlight in it. But one that's got life radiating from within. A human jewel. We can gather human jewels. They're laying around everywhere. And God is asking you to gather those and lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. That's why I keep my bucket with me all the time. Hallelujah. I'm always looking for some jewels. Always looking for some jewels. I'm always on a prospecting trip. You know, the old miners out in the West, they'd spend their lifetime always prospecting. A day would go by, a month would go by, a year would go by. And after a while, they'd begin to get a little age on them. But they kept saying, if I just one time, you know, like a gambler, just one time, I strike it rich. I'm always prospecting. I'm always looking. But you know, it's a more sure thing with God. It's not a gamble. It's a sure thing with God. If you dig in the mines of God, you're going to discover some beautiful jewels. If you follow after Christ, you're going to find something that's rewarding. I'm always looking, no matter where I go. Every day when I awake, the first thing I think of, I'm always thinking about souls. Always looking everywhere I go. Looking for a new jewel. Looking for somebody that I can win to God. Or maybe I run across a stone that's kind of bruised and beat up a little bit. Or maybe the brilliance of it is not really showing like it ought to show, you know. And then I say, Lord, make me an expert. You know, it takes an expert to cut a diamond to where you can get all of the beauty and radiance out of it. And I say, Lord, make me an expert. And don't let me abuse it. Don't let me break it. Don't let me chip it. Let me cut it just right. And Lord, I see so much more beauty, that so much more radiance that could come out of that if you just show me how to cut it and show me how to handle it. Lord, how beautiful that could be if it was just handled the right way. And so then I ask God, I say, Lord, go with me. And Lord, help me to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that thrills my soul. I can tell it doesn't do you know, anything to some of you. But to me, it just literally thrills my soul. You say, Brother Pike, why do you get so excited about it? Because I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Those are diamonds. Those are rubies. Those are beautiful jewels. And I'm laying them up in heaven. I'm just laying them up in heaven. And one day I'm going up there where they're at. They're my riches. They're my blessings. All of those treasures will belong to me. You believe that? See, the Bible speaks of people going to hell, and it says, and some shall have the greater damnation. Isn't that right? And Jesus said one time when they come over there, right there at Pilate's judgment throne, he said, these have the greater sin. So you can have the greater sin, you can have the greater damnation, or you can have the greater reward. Is that right? I want to have just as great a reward as I can give. I do. If I was going to be a man here in this world, after the things of this world, I'd want everything I could get my hands on. Is that right? I wouldn't want to have to do the job. I'd want to do everything that could be done and get everything that I could get my hands on, because I believe that's the way it ought to be done. And so then, since God has opened my eyes and caused me to look around me and see eternal riches and the glory and the splendor, the great loving magnificence of Christ and His people, I want to do everything I can do, get my hands on everything I can get my hands on, and lay up every treasure that I can in heaven, because one day I'm going up there where it's at. So then, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. The Bible said the desire of the wicked shall perish. You may have great ambitions in the earth, and you may have a lot of desire in the earth, but if you are a wicked person, all that's going to pass away. It's going to perish. There's not going to be anything left for you. But oh, let me tell you, beloved friend, if you fear God, if you believe in God, if you can take God's word, if you delight in God's commandments, and you evaluate properly in your mind to know what the commandments of God means to humanity, my, what a wonderful treasure you have. See, I think about the laws of the land. Take the laws of the land out here, and I think about that. Now, those laws are good if they're not violated. I know that they're misused. I realize that they're misused. But you've got to admit that the average law that's instigated is good. It's a protection to us. And it protects life. And if you want to conform to that law and obey that law and honor that law, it becomes a great protection to you. But if you want to be a villain and you want to violate that law and you want to be haughty and raised up and say, no, I'm not going to do that, then it becomes a punishment and a detriment to you. Isn't that right? It can prove to be something very sorrowful, and it can prove to put you behind bars or whatever. See, because you refuse to conform to the laws of the land, they can't protect your natural life because you reject them. You go around the curve says 50 miles an hour. Maybe it's already been tested and proven that you can't go much faster than that, or else you lose your life. And somebody says, well, I don't believe that, so they go 70 miles an hour. Maybe they make it, maybe they don't make it. You understand what I'm saying? Those laws are given to protect your natural life. And the commandments of God are the laws of heaven that God has given to protect my spiritual life as well as my natural life, and to preserve me eternally without blame, Paul said. I want your spirit, your body, your mind, soul, everything, Paul said, to be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are laws that protect my life. They protect me. They protect my loved ones. They protect my treasure. They protect everything that I desire, everything that I want, everything I believe in, everything I stand for. The laws of life, the commandments of God. Hallelujah! When I think about it, I get excited. To think that God has endowed me with knowledge and understanding of something that can take care of me. The commandments of the Lord, I delight in those commandments. They thrill my soul. I know in time past, a lot of times I'd be confronted with something, you know. I'd come up against something and that thing would cut across my grain. It would be contrary to what I wanted to do. Or contrary maybe to what I was doing. And the Lord would let me know that was truth. That was truth. And I say, but God, that cuts across my heart. Lord, that's so contrary to what I'm doing. How in the world will I ever conform to that? And the Lord would say to me, unless you love the truth, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. I'll cause you to believe a lie, send you strong delusions, and let you be damned. And I'd say, oh God, don't do that. Lord, let me love the truth. Let me love the truth. And God would say, well, it's going to cut across your flesh. It's going to cut across your grain. It's going to cut across your way of life. And you're going to have to conform to the laws of life, which is the commandments of God, if you want to preserve your life unto eternal life. I say, oh Lord, let me conform. Lord, let me conform. And I'd say, oh God, let me conform to your way of life. For God hath predestinated us that we be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the commandments of God made manifest in the flesh. Or the Word made manifest in the flesh. And I'd say, Lord, let me do it. And a lot of times it would cut across my grain, you know. And the Lord would say to me, he'd say, son, remember this. If I demand of you that which is right, for the sake of your enemies and them that have hurt you, if I demand of you that you love your enemies and that you do these things, if I love humanity enough that I demand of you, my own son, if I demand of you that you do these things, if I love humanity enough to do that, you can be sure that when they come against you, that I'll demand of them right down to the very fine line. And I'll make your enemies be at peace with you. And them that rise up against you, I'll rise up against them. And them that trouble you, I will trouble them, Jesus said. But you've got to do what I tell you to do. Hallelujah. And so then God let me know that I had to honor his laws. I have to obey his laws. I have to go his way. Blessed is the man that delighteth in the commandment of God, for the desire of the wicked shall perish. I don't know what kind of desire you've got this morning, but if you are a wicked person, the Bible said the wicked shall not live their days half out, that the prayers of the wicked are abomination in the sight of God, that all of the offerings of the wicked are abomination in the sight of God. The wicked are always, always evil in the sight of God and rejected and despised in the sight of God. And he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked every day. Don't ever get the idea that God loves everybody. Don't ever get that idea, because God doesn't love everybody. The Bible said, I am angry with the wicked every day. I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. God loves those that honor his laws. He said, I've not lost to one of them, Father, only the son of perdition. Whereas before he was ever born, it said, let another his bishopric take. So then God loves you if you will turn in his direction. God loves you if you will call upon his name. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. God loves you if you'll make a sincere effort to do what is right. And brothers and sisters, if we take the other outlook and we're contrary to God, God said, I'll walk contrary to you. Said, you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. So then the wicked isn't going to get into the kingdom of God. The Bible said outside of that city will be whoremongers and liars and cheat and robbers. All of these things will be turned outside of that city. So then there isn't going to be anything like that on the new earth or in that city. You can be sure that God isn't going to let that be. But we are washed, we are clean, we are holy, we are pure, because God has made us to be so. Now I realize that out there in the world, there's a world full of sinners. And I know that we are to go out there and we are to love them. God has given grace. He's given the love of God through the Son, Jesus Christ. I know that. He has given it, give a day of grace so that the wicked can have grace and have the love of God present for a dispensational truth and a dispensational grace and a dispensational time. I realize that, but give them time to do right, to change about, and to come to God. But I've said this so many times, and I emphasize it this morning. The Bible said the grace of God has appeared unto every man, teaching them that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that they should live soberly and righteously in this present world right here. That's the grace unto salvation. And if you don't have that grace, you don't have the right kind of grace. The other grace is just a dispensational grace that's going to last for a period of time. And then after that, that grace is going to be lifted. And all of those people that had part in that grace will be turned into hell if they've not repented of their sins and come to the grace of God, God that bringeth salvation. So then we see God has a plan. While we have grace, while God is giving us grace, while he is working with us, let's gather all the jewels that we can. Let's go about pulling them out of the fire, hating the garments that's spotted with the flesh, and pulling them out of the fire. Let's turn them away from the flesh and the things of the world and turn them to God and God's Word and the wonderful things of Christ. Let's get together and love one another. And let's those that want to be wicked, let them go their way, because God isn't going to have them. They're going to have to repent of their sins. They're going to have to turn to God. But not one of them that looks in his direction will he reject. He that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out, he said. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Even though he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. Yet he said, I don't have any pleasure in having to destroy them. Beware, you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces, he said. But I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'd rather that the wicked would repent of their sins, turn away from their evil ways, and come to me and let me save them. I'd rather that they do that, but I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But you can be sure of one thing, that if a person doesn't accept God and doesn't follow God, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of God. I listen, children of God, and you hear me real good, and we're going to close. I just thought we'd exhort you a little bit this morning. But there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And that way is his own way. For the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. But there is the high way. There's a way, a highway that's called the highway of holiness. No unclean thing shall walk thereon. The eyes of the vulture has never seen it. Though a man be a wayfaring fool, he shall never err therein. Now, there's a right way. We must go that right way. We must remember this one thing, that God requires righteousness. And we cannot depend on some theology, some experience, or something somebody has told us. We can't do that. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. In the latter times, many shall depart from the faith. And I say this again, departing from the faith is not departing from some religious stride that you've taken through life, whereas you're connected with some denominational work. But departing from the faith is leaving the confidence of the word. For faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Many shall leave the word and turn to old wives' fables and be given to thoughts and things of this world that's not profitable for them. Saying that you can do this and you can add this and God doesn't mind and God understands, but be sure of one thing. Your sins will find you out what God's word tells us is what God will require in the day of judgment. Exactly what he has said in his word, it'll be just exactly that way without any additive whatsoever. All right. So then, remember this as we go through life. There's a right way, there's a wrong way. You cannot do good yesterday and go to heaven on it today. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, you cannot do good yesterday and go to heaven on it today. Neither what you did yesterday will take you to hell today if you repent over what you did yesterday today. The Bible said all of your righteousness, all that you've ever done, all of your goodness, if you turn and do wickedly, it shall not be remembered. In your sins ye shall die. It doesn't matter how many good things you've ever done, how much predestination you've been taught. The Bible said when you turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness that you have done the past shall not be remembered. In your sins you shall die. And if you do wickedly all of your life and then turn and call on God and clean up your life, the Bible said all of your wickedness shall not be remembered. In your righteousness ye shall live. Hallelujah. So then you've got one problem. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if that's the case, then I'll just wait until I get ready to press my death pillar and then I'll give my heart to God. Well, a person with that kind of attitude could never get close to God. Well, a person with that kind of attitude, you couldn't even get close to God. Did you know that? When you went to die, you'd look at yourself and you'd say, you wretch. Come on now. You'd say, you wretch, you throwed your life away. And the devils would be buzzing in your ear like a bunch of bees. Saying, and here you pre-planned this as just like premeditated murder. Why, you could never convince yourself that you love God. You've got to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's got to love you. And he does love you if you'll give him a chance to love you. If you'll be lovable. You know, Solomon said to have friends, one must show himself friendly. To be lovable, one must show himself lovable. To be loved. Isn't that right? So then, whatever it is, that's the way the Bible teaches it. And that's the way it'll have to be in the day of judgment. If you want to do right, then start living for God. Live for God. The Lord will bless you. And if you don't want to do right, just remember, you're going to go into the lake of fire. There is a lake of fire. And the Bible calls it the second death. And you're going to die more than just being put down in the grave and going to sleep. You're going into that lake of fire. It's real, folks. It's hard to believe, but it's there. Where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. All right. I want you to stand with me. We just thought we'd say a few things to you this morning. The testimonies were so good. And I hope that our little exhortation this morning might have done something for you. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. I said, I think I'll just wait a while. Well, you don't know when the last day's coming. You don't know. So, well, I feel like it's a long time, Brother Pike, before the end of the world. Well, I don't feel that way. I really don't. At the same time, even if it was a long time, as I've said so many times, maybe it is a long time, but let's look at it like this. Supposing it is a long time, there's one thing for sure. It may not be a long time for you. Beware you that forget God, lest I turn you into pieces. The danger is when you know and don't do. That's danger. See, as long as you don't know and you don't do, then it isn't required of you. God is expecting someday that you be confronted with it, and then it will be required of you. Now, he requireth that all men repent, but he also says the gospel must be preached to every creature and to all the world for a witness first. Now, so then, it is a true fact that he will require it of you. He'll require it of you, but you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to repent of your sins when you come to the knowledge. When you come to the knowledge. You can't until you come to the knowledge. The Bible said if you come to the knowledge of the truth and then you turn away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. All of the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. You cannot put God off. Once you know a truth, you must perform the truth. You must incorporate that truth in your life. You cannot lay one truth aside. Every truth must then be incorporated in your life, and you must have an earnest, sincere endeavor to perfect that truth in your life. If you leave off that one, then God leaves off with you. So if you know, then it's required of you, and sad times are ahead for you. If you don't know, then God will be merciful to you until such a time as you can know. So then remember this morning that Jesus loves you and Jesus wants to help you. But you have to give him a chance to help you. If you be wicked, then Jesus doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. He said, I'm angry with you every day. And I'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. I won't let you live your days half out. When you hear the truth, if you won't accept it, then the Bible said, I'll cause you to believe a lie and be damned. He didn't say, I'll just let you. He said, I'll cause you to. Pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Father. I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. That is your own thinking. Don't lean to your own understanding, the Bible tells us. You lean to your own understanding, you go wrong every time because you're born with the mind of Adam. You're born with the mind of Satan. That mind's in you from your birth. You've got to transform your mind. The Bible says, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove that which is the good and acceptable will of God. So then we've got to study to show ourselves approved. We've got to get understanding, transform our mind, learn to live another life. We're a new creature in a new world, the song says, since the Lord saved me. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? I found a new place in God's heavenly, a place of, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Do you love Jesus this morning? You really love him? I want you to lift your hands up, close your eyes, Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Examine yourselves. Say, oh God, what is my convictions? Lord, is my convictions in my feelings? In what I have theorized in my heart during my lifetime? Is my convictions, Lord, in what I would like to do, in my ambitions, in my fleshly demands, in my own lust? Examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word of God, rooting and grounded in the truth of God's word. See this morning, examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, devils, the Bible teaches that Satan is the prince that's over the powers that's in the air. And they're working in the minds of the children of disobedience, and the children of disobedience are taken into captivity. The will of Satan, through temper, through anger, through all of the misdemeanors of life. And just ask yourself the question, say, Jesus, do I have the infilling of the wonderful Holy Ghost of God? Do I have the wonderful inner resistance that I need to overcome the outer gnawings of the evil powers that work in my human desire? My human senses, Lord, am I human weakness? Lord, am I really anchored in the faith? Am I really anchored in the faith? Am I, Lord? See if you be in the faith. Have you drifted from the faith? Have you rearranged things to your own convenience so that the flesh can have an outlet? You know, the flesh, it'll say to you, it'll say, I'm in a prison. My, you're so cruel to me. You make me fast. You make me do without. You're so cruel to me. You should be kind to me. Don't listen to that voice. That's Satan. The kindest thing that you can do to your body as the temple of God is to get that evil mind of lust and human desire out of it. Because it's contrary to the Holy Spirit that wants to live in that temple. If the Holy Spirit lives in that temple, you live eternally, beloved friend. But if you let that crying, gnawing weakness, Jesus said, Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh. You let him plan your life and he'll wreck you. He'll wreck you, and that temple will decay and pass away, and you won't have it eternally as a gift from God. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. How wonderful thou art. How great thou art, O God. How great thou art. So wonderful. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You know what? I feel him right now. Hallelujah. I feel him. The mighty, wonderful Holy Spirit, as he moves through my being right now, hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Hear. You're the churches. Hear. God wants to speak to you. God wants to help you. God wants to strengthen you and do something great and marvelous in your life. You're special to him. Every person is special to God. You've got your own world. Oh, hallelujah. What a sovereignty. What a greatness. It can be a lovely world. A world that includes others. A world of happiness and defense. A world of rest and peace. Whereas when you invite somebody else into it, and their spirit, their inner man, their spiritual being enters into your atmosphere, oh, what a place of rest. What a place of comfort. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. People walked into Jesus' presence, and they felt loose. They felt freedom. The anointing broke the yoke, and they felt at rest. Relaxation, the desire of their heart was discovered. And as it was with Solomon in the days of the Queen of Sheba, Solomon told her all of her heart. She was so happy. Jesus will tell you all of your heart. The precious Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, is a comforter. He's with you every day of your life. He's a blessed comforter. When you have problems, he'll talk with you. He'll live on the inside. He'll never take anything good from you. They that walk upright before God shall lack no good thing. The blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and hath no sorrow. He that delighteth himself in the laws of God, I will make him to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed him with the heritage of Jacob. For by me kings reign, princes reign, great people reign. For I raise up one and I put down another. I've created the good and evil. I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. Delight thyself in the Lord. The Bible said that ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither. Whatever you do will prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your roots go down deep into the waters of life. You're planted by the river of life. On either side of that river, the trees with their roots growing down into the river of life will bring the waters and produce the fruits of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just for a lingering moment, while they're playing, I wonder if we can sing that song, Sweep Over My Spirit. And while we're singing it, I wonder if you just step out just for a moment and come down here and let us pray with you. Would you? Can we sing it? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me, will you? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at Jesus' feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, I need you, oh, I need you. I need you, I need you now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it with me. I want you. Oh, you every hour, Lord. I want you every hour, Jesus. I want you. I want you now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I want you. Let's sing it like this now. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. Oh, how you'll need him just to please your cause on that eternal day. Oh, my Savior, and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. You know, while we're standing here, and I trust that you've really examined your hearts and your lives. If you've not surrendered your heart to the Lord, and you've never given Him a chance at your heart, never said, "Jesus, take my heart, take my life, use it for the glory of God." If you've never given Him a chance, now's a good time. Now's a good time just to say, "Jesus, take my heart, take my life. And Father, whatever there is in my life and heart, use it for the glory of God. And like the little boy with the fishes and the loaves, magnify the fishes and the loaves, Jesus. I don't have much to offer, perhaps as others do. But Lord, take what little I have. Magnify Jesus and feed the multitude with it. I see the hungry multitude waiting, waiting." And Jesus said, "Lest we feed them, they'll faint in the way." Just say, "Lord, take what I have and use it for your glory. Take it, Jesus." Oh, it'll be so wonderful. The way that He can magnify, the way that He can multiply. And you think you just don't have enough to feed the multitude. And Jesus, take what you have. Then all of a sudden, you'll be feeding the multitude. And you say, "Oh Lord, I never thought it could be done." But see, a little bit with Jesus is a whole lot. A whole lot without Jesus is a little bit. So then let's do something for Jesus, can we? Can you lift your hands up as our brother Taylor comes to pray a prayer with you now? Here, worship with you for just a minute or two. Can you lift your hands up now? Search your hearts. Don't forget the services tonight. Come and be with us. Bring somebody. Bring your loved ones. Tell them about the ways of God. Go out and get them in the highways and hedges. Bring them in. Compel them. Show them the love of God. Do something to enrich the kingdom of God in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to ask God to touch your body just before Brother Taylor comes to dismiss you. Lift your hands up and let me pray with you, will you? Father, Lord of heaven, I love you for your presence. I love you for your goodness. Oh, hallelujah, sweet Holy Father. We love you. Dear God, stretch out your wonderful wings of protection. Bear us up on wings like an eagle. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I ask, Holy Father, Lord, that you touch the lives of every person that's standing here. Heal, O God. May the healing power of the Lord go into these bodies. May every nerve be touched. May the calmness, the rest, the peace from heaven come down, Holy Father. O God, may the strength, the power and the strength of the inner man that I feel right now, hear, O God, and heal, forgive. Lord, touch this morning. Strengthen this morning. Save this morning. Help them to make a commitment to Thee this morning. In the name of Jesus, Father, as they call upon the name of the Lord. Father, you said it shall come to pass, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I ask that they call upon the name of the Lord this morning. Heal, save, forgive. Strengthen, be with them through this day. Don't let any of them have wrecks. Don't let any of them be hurt. Don't let disease overtake any of them, Father. Don't let faults and failures and poverty overtake them. But God, watch over them. They are the work of your hand. They're your masterpiece, God. They're your sons and daughters. They're your kingdom, Heavenly Father. Watch over them. Take care of them through life. In the wonderful name of Jesus, take care of their loved ones. I ask you to do it, Father, in the lovely name of your Son. Do it, Holy Father. Do it, Holy Father. Hallelujah. Let's just sing a little bit of this verse, can we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, was the hour I first believed. Praise God. Can you lift your hands? Praise God.